still here in Edinburgh. One of the shows that I saw in my first week here, and I believe I mentioned it last week, was Yisrael Campbell's one-man show, Circumcise Me, in which he talks about the time he converted to Judaism those three times. First of all, a one-man show about becoming Jewish. Jews in show business, is that a thing?
Yeah, well, apparently it is. The day of my first conversion, I had an audition. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And when my uncle heard I had an audition that afternoon, he said, "Wow, word travels fast."
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 401, Yisrael's Three Conversions. Yisrael Campbell is just your average Irish, Italian, Catholic, American, Reform, Conservative, and now Orthodox Jew. And he tells the story of his fascinating spiritual journey in Circumcise Me, his one-man show here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. After we each finished our performances one day last week, Yisrael sat down with me in a noisy bar at the Gilded Balloon venue where he's performing to talk about how both he and his show got to this point.
One of the many things I thought was really great about the show is that you're not just some professional Jew. You got acting training. I mean, this is what you do.
Yes. I went to Circle in the Square Drama School in New York City. And then when there wasn't enough work after school, I started doing stand-up as a way of having more control over what I was doing and doing it myself. I just needed to write a joke and tell it and find a place to tell instead of getting cast in a show. And then, in reverse, when I first did a Reform and then a Conservative, when I did the Orthodox conversion the third time and I wasn't going to work on Shabbat anymore, it came back as a way of being able to control my work in that if I do a show on Shabbat, I don't use a microphone and the lights stay the same and it's, you know, in a setting where that works.
Oh, interesting. And, yeah. Interesting. I mean, I say in our comedy show that I'm not a churchgoer, that the theater is my temple, and it's a line in the show, but it also happens to, it feels true for me.
It's very true. When I saw you say that, I thought back when I was in drama school, John Malkovich was doing Burn This on Broadway, and I used to second act the show. I worked down the street in the turning on the video movies, which in those days you actually had to put in the machine and push go, and then I would run down the street and I'd mingle for the half in the intermission. I'd go into the theater, find a seat down front, and watch. I saw the whole show twice and the second act about an additional 12 times. I was, John Malkovich was my Lord and Savior. And the theater was my temple at the time.
Yeah.
And certainly I've replaced that in finding religion and finding a place. And,
you
know, as we were talking earlier, I didn't have a show on Saturday because that's the limitations of my life now.
Yeah.
And it was hard watching everybody else get big houses, but it is what it is.
And when you were doing stand-up, was your material all very personal?
Yeah, it was. My style of stand-up was always, you know, the first joke I ever wrote was, the first two jokes I ever wrote were, that Magic Johnson had written a book about AIDS, and I thought, isn't that reading like reading a book about safe air travel by Amelia Earhart? And then at the time, Arafat had been lost in the Sudanese desert, and they found him like 3 days later, and I said, I flew from San Francisco to Los Angeles and lost my luggage for a week. You know, so it started out not so personal, but I quickly it became about my life, growing up with my crazy mother and Catholicism, and then just added in the Judaism.
Well, give the listeners the kind of the reduced version, if you would, of your story, but also then of your show.
So the story, the elevator pitch of my story is, I grew up Catholic. I converted to Judaism three times. I moved to Israel, and I tell that funny story in an hour.
Yeah.
You know, the material is, you know, my mother was almost a nun. Thank God she left the convent, otherwise only half of me would be standing here today. My aunt, though, was a nun, which makes Jesus my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I converted to Judaism three times. Three circumcisions is not a religious covenant. It's a fetish.
Well, there's so many things that I love. I guess I expected it to be more stand-up-y, which it certainly is. It's certainly funny on that level, but then it became also, it's also very poignant. And in moments, it's really powerful. I mean, it was clear that you had acting training because you were digging right down and going, and I was sitting there kind of going, holy crap, I'm being moved by this in a powerful way and in a way I didn't expect, which is fun. I also really love the fact, again, speaking as a non-religious guy, that you are a sober alcoholic.
Yes,
so you're a sober alcoholic, and yet somehow this has your conversion seems to have replaced. There's an addiction, an addictive quality.
Right. People are always kind of. I mean, you can't see me on radio, but I'm sitting here in a black hat and a long black coat, and I have a long beard and curls on the side of my head and strings sticking out of my pants.
And I haven't touched your beard yet, and I think I'm showing remarkable control.
One of the few people in Edinburgh who hasn't touched my beard. They really love the beard here in Scotland. But yeah, people always make fun of me that, you know, I couldn't just convert. I couldn't just convert in Northern, you know, in Southern California and live in a Reform community and be Jewish and have all the great ethical qualities of a Jew and just kind of go about my life. I had to move to Israel, become an Orthodox Jew, walk around like...
All right, yeah. Did nobody go, we get it, we get it.
I remember I was sitting with a roommate in Jerusalem in my coat and my hat, and Clinton was on trial, and the jury forewoman wanted to come in her Enterprise uniform every day. She was from the Starship Enterprise. Right. And I said, that's crazy. You can't just walk around in any costume you want. And my roommate said, you can't.
Well, but and that was the thing, too, because you tell, as you tell your story in your show, and you tell the fact that you had to convert several times, I kept thinking, at what point do you say to these people, you know, screw you people? What do you mean I'm not Jewish enough? How Jewish have I got to be?
Right.
So, but clearly it wasn't about them.
Right.
This is about you.
Right. It wasn't about them, and yet it was to a degree. There is this idea in Judaism that it's not, there's no Judaism, there's no entrance into Judaism like there is to Christianity. You accept Jesus as your personal savior, you're Christian.
Right, boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is broad strokes for, you know, 15-minute podcast.
Right.
But Judaism is essentially the acceptance of the community.
Right.
And so in the Reform, I hadn't done traditionally what the Orthodox do. And in the Conservative, one of the rabbis drove on Shabbat, which is acceptable to his group.
Okay.
Finally, I did the Orthodox. And then something shifted. And someone came up to me later and said, you know, if you were in the ultra-Orthodox community in London, you would not be accepted still. And I thought, screw you. Finally, I realized something had shifted. But, you know, I did the Reform. I did the Conservative. How did I really know I was Jewish?
Yeah.
The first time I wrapped a cake in a napkin and stuck it in my pocket at a buffet. Then I knew I was Jewish. Once I started stealing Sweet and Low on a regular basis.
Jesus, that must make me Jewish. Or I'm an actor.
Right, exactly. Or you're Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy.
That's right. I'm stealing here.
Right. Food is free, man. You don't need to steal it.
Yeah.
Well, if it's free, I'm not stealing.
I'm an actor. I don't know where my next free meal is coming from.
Exactly.
But I get it in your case because you were not born with the name Yisrael Campbell. You were born with the name, what was it?
Christopher Campbell, which is Greek for the Christ bearer.
Yeah, Christopher Christ. Yeah, there's a little.
The rabbi told me to get a different name.
I think I agree with your rabbi.
Yeah, and truly, you know what? I didn't know when I chose it. I had read Exodus, Leon Uris's Exodus, a cheap 2-bit piece of historical fiction, and that's what sent me on the road.
Yeah.
And when I chose Yisrael, I realized later on that Yisrael is he who wrestles with God, which is the perfect name for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's amazing. Like, when I show up dressed like this for a flight on El Al with a passport that says Christopher Campbell, they're like, we got him! Because they think I just forgot to switch the passport.
Or they start pulling on your beard expecting you to come off.
They ask me, why did you convert? I tell them the whole story. I was looking for people that I could struggle to have a relationship with God with. El Al is not interested in putting people on airplanes that are struggling to have a relationship with God.
No, this is right.
They don't
right.
even like vegetarian meal requests. So now they ask, why did you convert? I say, the women. And the women of El Al say, you know, of course. And the men of El Al say, good luck.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Manavis. I'm the host of The Breakfast Show on Fresh Fringe at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? I can't believe it, but we're already halfway through our four-week run of the complete history of Comedy Abridged at the Pleasance Theater here at the Edinburgh Fringe. We close that show on August 25th, and also in our final week here, we'll be doing 9 performances of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised from the 17th to the 25th. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. So what's it like performing this show in Edinburgh? We were saying, you know, the worst part of having a 7 or 8 show a week run are the matinees. And your show's at 4, mine show's at 1. Right. All we're doing is matinees.
Right.
You know, what's it like here on the Fringe for you?
So the Fringe is... I think 4 is a little later than 1, you know, so it's not technically, in that if I'm up at 3, I'm not worried that I'm going to oversleep.
Right, true.
And I still seem to be nurturing the jet lag. Being on the Fringe has been very powerful. As an actor, I feel like, wow. In a certain way, it's like a dream come true, you know, to be able to be here and to be amongst all these shows and to be doing something that I feel good about. As an Israeli, it's been hard because there's been these 2 shows. One was shut down after a day of protests. The other is not coming. And so as, you know, as an Israeli, I feel bad that shows are being shut down. As an actor, I feel bad that, what's wrong with my show? Why don't you boycott my show?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's interesting because, of course, being Jewish, is not being Israeli. Being Israeli is not being Jewish.
Right. And sometimes, you know, as a Jew, I feel, you know, am I real? Like, I always say to, you know, to my friends that are Jewish, you know, because they're always asking, why do you wear the coat? Why do you wear the hat? Why do you have the long beard? Part of it is as a way of identification.
Yeah.
Because when I fall back into my family, I fall back into Irish, Italian, Catholics.
Yeah.
When Jews fall back into their families, they fall back into Jewish grandparents and Jewish great-grandparents. So there's always this, there's still, I mean, as much as I can be, I feel very accepted by the Jewish community. There's always a question, you know, when someone says, you know, someone will say, you're more Jewish than the Goyim. Well, what does that mean? I'm just as Jewish as the next Jew, you know?
Right.
There's also the angle of Israeli. Like, in Israel, I'm an American.
Right. No matter how long you...
If I stay 50 more years, yeah, 100 more years, right, I'll be an American.
Right.
My kids call me the American. Their kids, their friends will call me the American.
In some people's mind, you could be the Shabbos Goy for something.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Certainly as an Israeli. And then I get here and I think, like, what, you protest the real Israelis and you don't protest me? Like,
yeah,
you know...
What's a brother got to do?
Right. Yeah. What's a brother got to do to get a protest
up in here? Well, and it's I mean, right now, it's August of 2014 as we talk, and tensions have heated up yet again. I mean, that could be true in the last 2,000 years we could be talking. But there are moments in your show where it's clear that anybody who thinks that because you're Jewish, you are towing the Israeli party line, that's absolutely not true, and that's evidenced at several points in your show. You don't make a thing about it, but it's just, I think it's a way in for anybody who might be suspicious of your show. Or of you.
There's one point in the show where I mentioned the month we got married, which was March of 2002. It was a horrible month. 126 Israelis were killed in that month. More were injured. I make a point to say, you know that if 126 Israelis were killed, countless more hundreds of Palestinians were killed. It was a horrible month for everyone. I have performed before audiences that, you know, that's using moral equivalency. You shouldn't say that. I will not say that.
Yeah.
I want people, you know, that...
Yeah, there are certainly people who think that if one acknowledges the complexities and the nuance of that situation, there you are therefore anti-Israel.
Right.
And that's not true.
If you recognize the loss and the pain of the other side, you're somehow undermining the soldiers or the fight or the... And that's not true either. It's been hard to be away at this time, and yet, you know, it's a complex issue. We saw the show the other night, Come Heckle Christ. I said to Gary Rudorn, my producer and director, I said, you know, let's bring a show next year called Come Heckle an Israeli. And we'll either put me on a cross or not, depending on the week. but we'll, you know, we'll people get to come and heckle a real Israeli because they're protesting Scottish people against Scottish people here.
Yeah.
So Gary said, but by next year there won't be a fight. I said, well, Gary, this is a 100-year-old fight in a 2,000-year-old war. There'll be a fight next year. It might not be about this, but it'll be about something.
Well, and we have that scene in the history of comedy where Rambozo the Clown saves the Middle East, solves the Middle East problem. And I just, you know, when I wrote it, I thought, well, this will be always relevant, and I had no idea it would be so relevant here this August.
Right. No, that's something I wanted to say earlier. You know, like, I got sober, and part of my spiritual search to find a power greater than myself in my sobriety ultimately led me to Judaism. Sometimes I feel a little uncomfortable that because I went on a spiritual search to find a God that worked in my life, I now have 4 children that are going to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces, you know? And, you know, the oldest are only 10 now, and the youngest is 4. But if it's any indication, that 10-year-old in 8 years is going to be standing on in a tank on a line holding a gun because I wanted to find a power greater than myself that would help me stay sober.
La-dee-da. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your conversions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a Twitz. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Irish Catholic used to be married to a Jew, Matthew Croke. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tanya Howard. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Yisrael Campbell, his director Gary Rudoran, and Sarah Manavis, host of The Breakfast Show on Fresh Fringe at fringe.freshair.co.uk. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 401 1,203rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
So, you know, as an actor, as a Jew, let me ask you, can I tell this joke? People mistake me for being Jewish all the time, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my pale yet Semitic good looks, or the fact that I'm tight with a buck. I really don't know. Where does that fall? Is that going to get me booed, protested? What do we think?
Oh, I think you're good. You're good. The truth is the truth. So
that's how I should get farther along in show biz, is to join the tribe, convert.
You only work so hard on your craft. Then you need yichus, as we say in Hebrew.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.